several times. Being in church alone right now is a blessing. Amen. It's amazing how we could take that for granted. Very good. If you'll take your Bibles, go to Romans chapter 10. I'll tell you a little bit about myself. I was raised in a Catholic home for 18 plus years. Not one time did we open the Word of God growing up. And I also grew up in southeastern Idaho in a community that was about 75% Mormon or LDS. And so I grew up very confused about who God is. But praise the Lord, I'm so thankful to Him that He brought people across my path, two different people that did not know each other, and they shared the gospel with me at the same time. One was a coworker, one was a mutual friend. And because of that, it caused me to stop and seriously listen and consider what they were telling me. And it was on July 10th, 2003, while I was at work, the Spirit of God was dealing with me about my sinful condition and my need for the Christ as my Savior. And that was the day that I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. After that, I began just doing whatever the Lord, doing what the Lord would tell me to do. I started going to church faithfully and reading my Bible, got baptized, serving in the local church. And for a period of time there, we were just faithful to church. But it was in October 2014, we had a missionary come preach our missions conference for us. He was a missionary kid from Brazil. And he spoke English, Portuguese, and Spanish, and he said to us, do you have any Spanish-speaking people in your community we could go share the gospel with? Well, we lived 30 miles from Canada, so there might have been four or five in the whole town, right? And one of them, ironically, lived on the same street that I lived on, and I went with him and listened while he witnessed to this man in Spanish. It was about a month later, the Spirit of God started asking me, why don't you learn Spanish so you can reach people with the gospel? I said, well, cuz, it's like a whole language, and I barely speak English. What am I going to do trying to learn another language? So I thought I would ask my wife. She's far more prudent than I am. I said, what do you think about me learning Spanish? She said, I think that's a great idea. I thought, well, that didn't work. So I said, Lord, I'll do it. I'll begin to learn Spanish. It's funny because I'm not a grammar person or an academic. But little by little, Lord, continue to encourage me to work and labor and study. And it's neat because I had no idea what God had in store for me and my family years ago. It's important to just take that next step of obedience, whatever it may be. I had a burden to take foreign missions trips. And so I took a number of them to Guatemala. I went to Honduras, Brazil, and also to Mexico three different times. And it was good. The Lord said, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they're white already in the harvest. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. During the time of fellowship over here, you had mentioned you went to Uganda and you noticed the laborers are few. If you go look at the harvest field, you're going to realize real quick that the Lord knows what He's talking about. There's a dearth for Christian workers on the foreign field. There's truly a dearth here, even in the United States of America. And so the Lord used that to grip my heart. And so as we continue to go forward, in the year of 2018, I had a burden to go visit one of the missionaries our church supports. We had two that we supported that were Spanish speaking. One was in Santiago, Chile. And I thought, well, I'd like to take my family. So I got online and I looked up airline tickets to go to Chile with eight people. And I realized it was going to be about $17,000. So I knew it was not the will of God for us to go to Chile that year. Didn't even have to pray, but I knew it was not the will of God. So after that, it was interesting. I was communicating this burden to my pastor, and it was shortly thereafter he received an email from the missionary we support in Mexico. And he said that he was hosting a missionary training camp. Think Bible camp, but on the foreign field, where the entire emphasis of the camp is about missions. So Americans go to Mexico and they get teaching sessions in the morning, preaching sessions in the evening, but in the afternoon you get to go out onto the foreign field and put into practice what you've heard preached and taught. Highly effective. And during that time, he said, why don't you come down here and serve the Lord down here? I thought, well, that's a great idea, but I don't call the shots. I'm going to have to go back and pray about this. And I spoke with my pastor. We both prayed and we fasted. And it was interesting. At around the same time, individually, the Lord communicated to us that it was not time yet. And I was thrilled because he didn't say no. He just said, not yet. So we waited, and about 8 months went by, and the Lord used the last verse in the third chapter of 1 Samuel. It says, and the Lord revealed himself unto Samuel by the word of the Lord. And he used that to confirm, I'm going to use scripture to confirm your calling to Mexico. And it was in March 27th of 2019, while I was at work, he used 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. And I'm encouraged. The Lord knows what He's doing, because here we've gone through a pandemic, and it's been encouraging to be reminded, faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. We will get our support. We will get to the field because God is faithful to do it. I'm excited because I don't remember who it was. Somebody famous years ago said they used to think, I want to go do something great for God, but then they later realized it was better to have God do something through them. And I've come to realize I don't need to come up with a plan. I just need to get in on what God's already doing. And I believe that God has people. He wants to save in Mexico and see churches planted in that area. Guanajuato is a state in Mexico. It's got about 6 million people. I've got a missionary we know of in Bulgaria. And Bulgaria, it's funny, we have a similar vision for what the Lord's called us to do. Bulgaria's got about 7 million people, and it's got about 43,000 square miles. This state in Mexico has nearly the same population, and it's 1/4 of the landmass size. These people are very densely populated there. There's literally thousands of villages there, and the only semblance of a church in these villages is Roman Catholicism. There's nobody reaching them with the gospel. And so I look forward to going down there and holding vacation Bible schools and Bible clubs in the plaza, reaching mommies and daddies with the gospel, and then planting local independent fundamental Baptist churches. Because, you know, the Lord said when he looked on the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. Why? Because they were sheep having no shepherd. You see, we need Christ to save our souls so that we can go to heaven. But we also need Jesus Christ to shepherd our daily lives. You see, there a young lady, she needs Christ to show her how to be a good mommy. And we need young men need Christ to help them to be good dads. And we need him day by day to help us live our lives. And so I look forward to seeing what God's going to do in Mexico and how we get to play a part in that. If you'll pray for us, we'd appreciate that. If you take your Bibles here, I said in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Let's start in verse 1. We'll read down a little ways and we'll pray again and ask the Lord to bless. It says in verse 1, Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, Say not in thine heart, Who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him should not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the privilege of being able to proclaim and teach the Word of God, and ask that tonight that you would be the one that would communicate these truths deep into the depths of our hearts. You know us all, and I pray, Lord, that we would leave here tonight challenged and convicted, encouraged, strengthened, renewed. And I pray, Lord, that you please use this moment of time in our lives that we would be encouraged to do right, live for you. And I pray that all that's done would give you honor and glory. Please give me the grace I need to serve you well at this time. And we thank you and ask you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing that we see here in this passage, you can see there in verse 12 of Romans chapter 10. It says there, For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. First thing we see here is an invitation that's open. There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. And the reason for that is simple. We all have the same problem. We have sin. Sin is the blight of our nation. Sin destroys homes. It ruins families. It destroys lives. Sin is what is ruining this country. Now, it's interesting because no matter who you talk to, everybody can agree on this simple fact that there is a problem in our country. Our country is faced with problems. Whether it's this side of the aisle or that side of the aisle in Washington, D.C., they all agree there are problems. The difference comes when you're trying to figure out how to solve those problems. We cannot seem to agree on that. You know, the Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Ecclesiastes 7:20, for there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. We are all sinners. We're born that way. It is by nature. I remember years ago, the Lord was helping me with my thinking. And the idea was, I remember thinking, why would we want to do, we know sin hurts us. We know sin is what destroys us. Why would we want to do something that we know is going to harm us? And it's like the Spirit of God whispered to me, because that's your nature. And I thought, I don't want to live that way. And he said, you don't have to, because I've given you a new nature. You don't have to live that way anymore. And I'm so thankful for that. But it is our nature to want to sin. The Bible talks about drinking iniquity like water. We all have sinned. That's why we have the same. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. We all have the same problem, sin. We all have the same need, and it is for the Savior. We need Jesus Christ to save us. We need Him to teach us how to live our lives and to live for Him. We all have the same solution, and that is salvation. Because it says there in verse 12, for there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. I am thankful that we have an invitation that's open. Absolutely anyone can be saved. It's an invitation that's open to anybody. Anybody that has a heartbeat in their chest can be born again. And I'm thankful for that. And just make sure that we get the gospel to these people. So we see that we have an invitation that's open. Secondly, we see here that we have an investment opportunity. Look at verse 14 with me. Verse 14 and 15, it says, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Four questions right here in this passage of Scripture. There's a sequence here. You can see this. It says, first, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? You see, believing precedes calling. Believing, calling is just an outward manifestation of what's already taking place in their heart. Why would a person call on Jesus Christ to save them if they don't first believe that He is able to save them? Why would they call on Christ to save them if they don't believe they're a sinner? Why would you? And you see, they believe they're a sinner. They're in need of a Savior. And they believed in Jesus Christ. This is what happened with the thief on the cross. You had two of them at both at one point railed on Him. But at one point, one repented, changed his mind. And you can see that because his response changed. And you can see where he called out to Christ and he said, when thou enterest in thy kingdom, remember me. What did he do? The theology of that thief was good. He believed that he was a sinner. He was being hung on a cross for thievery. He believed he was going to die. He was hanging on a Roman cross. He believed that Jesus Christ would save him if he called on Him. You see, he had the right theology, right philosophy, right understanding there. And so, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? Also, the next question, how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? Hearing precedes believing. It must be known and abundantly clear, if a person never hears how to be saved, they won't be. If a person never hears how to be saved, they can't. That is why it's so important that people hear how to be saved. The person working at the McDonald's drive-thru needs to get a gospel track and hear how to be saved. The person that you pass on the street needs to hear how to be saved. I heard a preacher years ago, he said this. He said, how do you know? He said, the Spirit of God right now is working in the hearts of people in the community that you live in. How do you know which people He is working in their hearts at that very moment? And he said, because there's a blue light shining on their forehead, right? Wrong. We don't know. That's why you got to give the gospel to every single creature. I love it because he says, follow me and I'll make you to be fishers of men. By the way, if you're not fishing, you're not following. He said, follow me and I'll make you to be fishers of men. Nobody ever caught a fish sitting at home on their couch. You got to go fishing. You have to put some effort into it. You got to actually go try to win someone to Christ. And I'm going to say this, I'm made of the same stuff as every other person in the room. I need to hear preaching like this from time to time, right? To be reminded, hey, if that person never hears how to be saved, they won't be. They have to hear how to be saved. How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Preaching precedes hearing. They've got to hear. And then also it says, and how shall they preach? Here it is. Except they be sent. Sending precedes preaching. Now the answer to these questions is actually simple. Reverse the order. Send preachers to preach Christ so that others may hear, believe, and call on the Lord and be saved. I'm going to ask you a question here. You've got a church here in Amory, Mississippi. Are you folks actually supporting a missionary right now to Amory? You wouldn't do that, right? That's kind of silly to think that you'd support a missionary going to Amory. You wouldn't do that, right? Because that's what this is. You folks are that missionary reaching Amory, Mississippi. That's your job. You're here. That's what you're doing. And you would expect that missionaries you support in other parts of the world are going to go out and give the gospel to people. That's what you're doing here. You're going to do here exactly what they're going to do over there. They say, well, that's outside my comfort zone. Was it Mary, I believe it was, where he said, she hath done what she could. Are you doing what you can do? Paul, I believe Paul said, he goes, and having done all to stand, are you doing everything that you can do? I remember years ago, I was just starting, and I was challenged by the Spirit of God to leave gospel tracts in places. And I'm not kidding you, I was terrified, like some sort of gospel tract police are going to drop out of the sky and scream at me or something. I would leave them in bathrooms and be terrified somebody's going to come catch me leaving a gospel tract somewhere. They never found me. They never caught me. I did have this happen one time. We started going to church where we're sent out of now, and my pastor asked me, he said, have you been leaving gospel tracts in the beer cases at the grocery store? Yes, sir. And he goes, I thought so. He said, I got a phone call late last night. Somebody found one of your gospel tracts, and they weren't too happy with us. Yes, sir. All right. So, nonetheless, I was just, hey, zeal, got to leave gospel tracts places, right? Are you doing what you can do? And so what we need to do, the answer is very simple. Send people, send preachers to preach Christ so that others may hear, believe, and call on the Lord and be saved. Now, here's the thing. Here's the crux of this point. This is an investment opportunity. Missionaries are not people going around the country begging people for money. This is what a missionary is. It's somebody saying, I'm going to this place to do what God's called me to do. Do you want to get in on it? Do you want to have a part in what we're doing? That's how this works. I remember we went to a church and they had a mural painted on their back wall, on their missions wall, and it said this, when Christians give and pray, then missionaries can go and preach. Let that sink in. When Christians give and pray, then missionaries can go and preach. Do not minimize the importance of the local New Testament church being used of God to send missionaries to the foreign field. That's how this happens. God uses you to get missionaries onto foreign soil. You're not going to go to Guanajuato, Mexico. You're not going to go to India or Sioux Falls or Uganda. You're not going to go to these places. But you still get to have a part. And it's by praying and it's by giving financially. Here's the neat thing. When the Lord said, he said this in Matthew 6:19, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. My wife's aunt worked in a bank for decades, and she had a 401k. That was her retirement. And then I believe it was 2007, 2008 when Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac took a dive. And there went her retirement. I think at the end, she had like $3,500 in her retirement. When you take your money, and I'm not against retirements, but what I'm saying is this, when you take your money and you lay it up somewhere here on earth, it can still go away. Your money makes like wings and flies away. Sometimes money is like, it comes here and it goes here. That's just what it does. But get this, when you invest in eternal things, it's not going anywhere. It's staying put. And it will be thrilling to be able to get to heaven someday and to meet people and they say, oh, by the way, because you gave and because you prayed, I got saved and now I'm in heaven. What a wonderful investment. That's what this is. It's an investment opportunity. You can play a part in the gospel going around the world. We were at a church in North Carolina, and they were thrilled to be able to say, the sun never sets on this ministry, because they have missionaries they support around the world. And so, not only an invitation that's open, an investment opportunity, but then lastly, an interesting observation here in Romans 10, verse 15, it says, "And how shall they preach except they be sent? And here it is, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." I think that's interesting. An interesting observation. It's talking about their feet. Now, if you think about this, feet are a tool. They carry you places. They help you to stand. Not only are feet a tool, but feet are a treasure. How much would you be willing to sell your feet for? $100? $1 million? I'd rather just keep mine, thank you very much kindly. I'll figure out another way to get money. I'll keep my feet. Now here the Bible tells us that the feet of those that preach the gospel are beautiful. When I think of feet, I don't think of the adjective beautiful. That's just not what it's in my mind. But I will say this. These feet are not beautiful because of how they look. They are beautiful because of what they do. Feet carry people places. And there are feet all around this country that will carry people. They'll carry them to bars. Some will carry them to church. Where are your feet going to carry you? What will you allow God to do with your life? Will you simply allow God to use you however He sees fit? Use your feet. And use them to take the gospel to other people. I love this. Angels brought glad tidings of Christ's birth. We are privileged to proclaim good tidings of His death, burial, and resurrection. I'm thankful to be able to play a part in what God is doing. Amen. We have an invitation that's open. Whosoever will may be saved. We have an investment opportunity. How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And we have an interesting observation. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. You see, this world does not have peace because they do not have Jesus Christ. He is the answer. He is the answer to what people need. We hold that in our hands. Are we willing to do what's necessary to get the gospel to the people that need it? Amen. Pastor.